Freedom and love go together. Love is not a reaction. If I love you because you love me, that is mere trade, a thing to be bought in the market. It is not love. To love is not to ask anything in return, not even to feel that you are giving something. And it is only love that can know freedom. And this week's quote comes from Jiddu Krishnamurti. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And it's nice to be back, folks. I've been away for a little over a month working on the new film and away speaking at the Freedom Summits around Australia, which has been quite an interesting experience. It was good to go out and meet a lot of people and to go out and get the message across to people in a personal and face-to-face manner. And thanks to all the people who attended as well. It was really nice to catch up with you all, and it was very nice to make some of the connections that I made along the way. And what a month it's been as well, folks. Every time I have a month off, the world seems to deteriorate while I'm gone. I don't know what it is. But in the last month since I've been off air, we've had the Malaysian airline flight go missing. We've had the US imposing a puppet government in the Ukraine, which almost resulted in World War III. We've had Israel attack Gaza yet again. We've had protests banned here in Australia, in the state of Victoria. And we've had the resident corporate whore and media magnate puppet, our lovely Prime Minister Tony Abbott, announce he's going to buy 7 drones to patrol the Australian coastline. I'm sure he's looking forward to having fun machine-gunning boat people out of the water, and people may say that is why he is doing it, but I would suggest that it isn't actually to keep boat people out, but the reason he is doing it is because of the massive oil find that we have in Cooper Pedy, whereby now Australia has around about 12% of the global oil economy. This is also the reason for the US base that is being built in northern Australia. Funny how most of the Australian people still don't seem to know about this oil find, though. But I would suggest the oil find is why the military base is being built and why border security is being stepped up a notch. Something else we've seen while I've been away is the march in March. We saw massive protests around the country in the capital cities, people marching and calling for the ousting of the Abbott government. But of course, these protests never really achieve much. They do give people the confidence of knowing that they stand in solidarity with others, of course, but they really don't seem to achieve much when addressing the political situation, because people don't really seem to understand that protesting doesn't really do much. You don't need to protest. What you need to do is contest the authority of these people. And were the population to do so in the correct manner, I think they would find that the government actually has no authority. And it certainly doesn't have the authority to be doing the things it is currently doing. And we don't ever seem to go down the path of questioning these people's authority or questioning the validity of the legislation they're putting in place and daring to call law. What we do is we go on the streets and we protest about what they've done. And really, it doesn't achieve anything when we do this, folks. It doesn't get us anywhere. All it does is end up in another confrontational situation, which the media usually plays as being street violence and as a call for more police. So very often by having massive protests, all we're doing is simply building a stronger control grid around us, and we're not actually getting to the root of the problem at all, which is the very questionable authority that our politicians somehow believe they have when such is not the case. The only reason they have the authority, folks, is, as I said, because we believe they do, so we don't question it. We just protest what they've done to us. Rather than stepping back and seeing what they have attempted to do is simply superimpose more fiction over our reality. But we don't see it as fiction. We see it as something real, and so we protest it, rather than questioning why they believe they have the authority to do this. You see, if it's fiction, why are you protesting against it, folks? Why aren't you questioning the validity of the fiction in the first place? Because by protesting it, you actually give the fiction the power to control you in the physical world. If it wasn't controlling you, you wouldn't be protesting against it. I know this is a kind of a weird head trip for people to think about things this way, but that's really the way it works. If you protest something, you've given it the power to control you. Don't protest it. Contest it. You see, what they're attempting to impose upon you isn't real, folks. It's fiction. It's a con. So give it the con test. Contest its validity by asking the right people the right questions and getting the community to stand with you and ask these questions with you. Of course, you can only do this if you have the respect of your neighbours, which you're only going to get if you have been respectful to them, which is why I've done so much work and I've done so many shows where I've spoken about the power of building community around you and the power of respect and what this power could actually achieve if applied to our current political situation. Because if you've got a respectful community that's willing to respect each other enough to know when right is right and wrong is wrong and stand together and question the authority of the trustees that you yourself put in place to manage your infrastructure for you, then things could change very quickly. And that's really the way people need to look at things, folks. The people in power, these politicians, are just probably trustees that we put there to act on our behalf. And all they do is steal from us. And we allow them to steal from us because we believe the rules they write on pieces of paper are real. You know, they write this stuff down and we arc up and get angry and stand up and protest about it and say, you can't do that. But if we were to stand up and say, excuse me, where do you get the power to inflict yourself upon me in that manner and address it from a perspective of trust, then the whole facade breaks down. The thing is that it's all fiction, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem. And we always attempt to use the fiction in order to find a way through the fiction, but we don't have to do so. What we have to do is realize that it's fiction. Although if you do wish to use law or legal fiction, legislation, then there are certain ways through it. The concept of sui generis is a way through it. There are certain things in place that we can use. That's the thing. I mean, there are certain laws, there are certain maxims of law which can be used as well, folks. And any legislation which interferes with a maxim of law is no law. It's not real. It's not anything that can hurt you. But we don't ever question these people, and we don't ever contest the validity of what they attempt to impose on us. We simply get up and protest it because we believe it's real and it's already done, and we have to stand up and shake our fist at it. But it never gets us anywhere. In fact, it just strengthens the legislation because it strengthens people's belief that the fiction is real. And I hope that made sense, the way I put all that. It's very difficult to explain this sort of stuff to people sometimes, folks, but essentially, as I've often said, it's a change in perspective is what is needed to address this problem. You know, you can talk about the fiction, you can talk about the legal system, and you can try to find ways to maneuver yourself through it. But until you realize that you are a completely unique, sui generis expression of creation, and that all of the fiction that they attempt to impose upon you is simply fiction, and all you have to do is to contest the validity of it and contest the authority that other people believe they have over you and question it, then that's how we change things. But it's got to be done in the right way. And it's very difficult for people to do this on their own because the police are thugs, they're brutal, and they will just tase you and beat you up because they can. And that's why it's no good attempting to take on police officers on your own. You've got to start questioning the system itself. And you need the strength of numbers. You need the strength of community to do this properly. And that's why it's always come back to that same thing, folks, the power of community and the power of common unity. If we can achieve this again and achieve a respectful state of mind for each other, then we can change things. It would be very simple. And really, I think that's the only solution that we have, is to do it that way. There's no good combating the system from within its parameters. It's not going to work because the system is just fiction. The problem is that we've forgotten ourselves to the extent that we actually believe the fiction is real. And they've certainly been rolling the fiction out while I've been away, folks. As I said, there are so many things that have happened in the last month. Another thing that we've seen is the signing of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which will essentially turn the entire Pacific region into one big department store, whereby any signatory of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement now has their country laid open to any corporation that wishes to come in and trash their environment as much as they like. All being done, of course, in the name of free trade. And with the introduction of this agreement, what we see is simply a further consolidation of the power and a further centralization of control of another region of the planet. And truly, folks, we do have the ability to combat all of this, but one of the most difficult things in combating it is helping people come to the realization that the control system that prevents us combating, or that we believe prevents us from combating it, is in fact fiction. It's fiction that prevents us from doing everything we need to do, folks. I mean, when we try to repair our environment, we find that there's a legal fiction that prevents us from doing so. Simply people who wrote rules down in pieces of paper. Have a look at Japan. Look what's going on with Fukushima, which is completely out of control, folks. And Fukushima is something that people just don't seem to be talking about. And yet it's at least 10 times as bad as Chernobyl, possibly up to about 24 times as bad as Chernobyl, actually, if you look at the figures and you start realizing just how much nuclear fuel we are dealing with in Fukushima. And what do we have in Japan? We have Japan passing secrecy laws. So the people in Japan aren't even allowed to mention Fukushima. You're not even allowed to talk about it. If you talk about it in Japan, you may be put in jail. So the question is, why would the police in Japan be enforcing such ridiculous legislation? Why aren't they arresting the people who wrote this legislation? Because Fukushima is a global problem, and it is a problem that affects everybody in Japan, certainly, and it is a problem that everybody should be talking about because we need to fix this problem. We really do. When you look at what's going on in the Ukraine area and what they're doing in Palestine and what they're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan, all of this war rhetoric and posturing that the governments of the world are carrying on with, why don't they just stop for a moment and address the issue of Fukushima? Because Fukushima is polluting the entire planet. It's been going out of control, pumping hundreds and hundreds of tons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean every day for 3 years now. And the only thing that stops us dealing with it is, again, fiction. And I think the people of the world need to stop and pay attention to this. We need to seriously acknowledge and take note of the fact that our politicians and the governments of the world are ignoring this problem. And so we need to rein these governments in and get them to focus on what is important, which is not supporting some fictional economy. It's not war posturing in the Ukraine and attempting to start World War III in order to prop up the US petrodollar. It's not about that. It's about doing something positive for this planet and doing something to help the people. I mean, to be honest, folks, I'm totally sick of all of the war and all the posturing and all the lies and the rubbish that these people feed the populations on a daily basis. And I'm sick of the criminal mainstream media for not addressing the real issues on this planet and setting up these smoke screens whereby people are brainwashed and led down the garden path. I'm really getting tired of it. And as I've said several times on past shows recently, this year the gloves come off, folks. They really do. This year I think it's up to all of us to really push the envelope with these people and really challenge their authority on every single occasion that we can, and to lead by example in our communities and inspire the people around us to do the same. Because we have to pay attention, folks. We have to do something about the situation on this planet. And seriously, if these people, these public trustees, believe that their writing of silly rules on pieces of paper is going to stop the human race standing up for itself, I think it's time that we take the moral high ground and show them that they are sorely mistaken. We have the ability to fix this planet, folks. We have the ability to fix every single problem that we face. All we have to do is choose to do so. All we have to do is respect each other enough to be able to stand in our power as one united community. And if we do that, all of the problems could disappear in a single day. Well, all of the political problems and corporate corruption could anyway. I think things like Fukushima may take a little longer, but at least in that moment we will be on a path towards remedy, because remedy is something we certainly are not going to get from the currently reigning criminal cabal that is in charge of this planet. And these are the sort of initiatives I wish to start this year with the Full Circle Project, folks. That's what I want to do. I want to start really pushing the envelope with these people. I'm busy working on the film to launch the Full Circle Project, to officially launch the project anyway. Hopefully I will have that finished soon. I did hope to have it done by March, but I guess my expectations of my own abilities were a little bit high because I have just been so busy this year. I haven't been able to put the time into it that I have wanted. But I am working on it, folks. It is in the pipeline and it will be released as soon as it's finished. As I said, I've also been quite busy away speaking at the Freedom Summits around Australia as well. But with the Full Circle Project, I really do hope to create a platform whereby we can really begin pushing the envelope with our local councils, with our governments, and we can really start to put the power back into the hands of the people. And I think an essential part of this really does boil down to people remembering who and what they are and being prepared to stand in their own power. If people are not prepared to do that, then I think we'll be facing a very uphill battle for a very long period of time. But I think it's getting to the point now where people are beginning to see that there is a need for us to pay attention. There is a need for us to get involved. Things like Fukushima that, like I mentioned before, we're not going to have our governments addressing this issue. It's going to take the people of the world standing up and addressing this issue. And seriously, if we don't, then our inaction is going to bring about the destruction of life on this planet, because Fukushima is a potential extinction level event. And I think there are things we could do to address the problem. Well, at least we could put our minds to it anyway. I mean, we're not going to come up with a solution while we're sitting back waiting for our governments to pay attention to the issue. And they're not doing so, and they're not going to do so. And they're going to keep the people of their countries distracted with wars and internal strife and internal legislation and the control grid and everything that they're doing to keep you distracted, the economic model that they subject people to, the system of financial slavery that people are forced to endure. All of these things are huge distractions to what is really going on this planet. And I think it's important that we pay attention. And that's what I hope to do this year, folks. That's what I want to do with the Full Circle Project. Get people to snap out of their dreams and start participating in the world in which we live. Because if we don't do so, I think we're going to lose this world, folks. And if we don't lose the world, well, we're going to certainly lose the freedom of mankind within this world. The centralization of power that's happening really is horrendous, and it's very obvious to those who choose to look and see. But unfortunately, as I said, most people are simply too distracted to ever find the time to do so. And the centralization of power, it's an interesting thing, folks. It isn't just about control. It isn't just about economic manipulation and controlling what we do and using us as an energy source, which is kind of what the system does. The system gets its energy from the attention that we give the system. So we are the energy source for the system. But it isn't just about that. It isn't just about harvesting our energies. It's also very much about controlling the direction that mankind takes, almost controlling the next evolutionary step, if you will, whether you believe in evolution or not. I mean, evolution is a reality. Perhaps Darwinian evolution is not a reality, but evolution, when looked at as simply being a natural progression from one step to the next, is a reality. Even when you look at things such as Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, this is in itself a form of evolution. An evolution in the way of thinking. When you change your perspective, this is evolution. It's just that the word evolution has been, to a large extent, hijacked by Darwinists, who always tend to apply a Darwinian version of reality when using the word evolution. And very often creationists and religious people will always only view the word evolution as relating to Darwinian evolution, when in reality things do evolve. A certain form of playing sports may evolve. The manufacture of motor cars has certainly evolved since its inception, so evolution does function on all levels. It isn't something that refers solely to the progression of the human genome. And what we see on the Earth today is a concerted effort to control the evolution of human thinking and to control the progression and evolution of the human species. The genetics that we're seeing introduced into our environment via genetically modified food and vaccination programs, not to mention what is happening with geoengineering and the nanotechnology that is being introduced to our environment. All of these things are affecting the way not only human beings, but everything is interacting with each other these days. It's affecting the way the reality on this planet itself progresses. When you think about someone working to control the evolution of human thinking, it's an interesting concept because what we're talking about here is not training people to think about things in a different way, although that is certainly part of the process. But more importantly, what they are essentially doing is training people not to think at all and devolving human intelligence. And this has been an ongoing process for quite a while, actually. It started around about 120 or 130 years ago when they removed the seven liberal arts from the education system. They stopped teaching people trivium and quadrivium. And so people aren't really able to think too clearly because people think in language. And if they don't understand the language, then, of course, their thinking is not clear. And if one does not understand trivium and quadrivium, then one is simply not able to effectively understand the language that they're speaking. Plus, when you look at things such as fluoride, which has been introduced into our water system, which also affects people's thinking, it's easy to see how this has been done, and it becomes quite insidious when one steps back and looks at the whole plan. And for anybody out there who doesn't believe that fluoride is a dangerous neurotoxin, there has been a recent report published in The Lancet, which is the world's most prestigious and most peer-reviewed and most respected medical journal, and The Lancet has categorized fluoride as a neurotoxin. Finally, it's done this after we all knew this for so long. It's finally categorized fluoride as a neurotoxin and placed it in the same category as arsenic, mercury, aluminium, and various other toxins and heavy metals. So there should be no doubt in anybody's mind that putting fluoride in the water is not being done for your teeth, folks. It's being done in order to addle your brain so that you are just not able to think very clearly. And this is a very confronting thing to suggest to people, and most people instantly go into defense mode when you tell them they may not be thinking clearly. They think that you've just called them stupid and they want to fight you, which is really not what it's about. It's simply alerting someone to a very real problem that exists in their lives and alerting them to the fact that they are also feeding this very highly toxic substance and very damaging substance to their children. And not only are they feeding it to their children through water and what they're drinking, but they're also bathing in it and they're absorbing massive amounts of fluoride through the body's largest organ, i.e. the skin. That's the thing, folks. You can not drink fluoridated water, and it's all very good, but if you're bathing in fluoridated water, it's much the same as drinking it. Most especially when you are having a hot shower and the pores are open and it's absorbing it all very, very effectively through the skin. That's the thing, you see, folks. The attacks actually come from all directions. They really do. It's very, very difficult to maintain any form of freedom on this planet. And it's very difficult to maintain any form of real defense against the system because the attacks that are directed towards humanity by the system use so many varied fronts that it becomes almost impossible to keep up with it. You've got, as I mentioned, the neurotoxins that are put in the water. You've got neurotoxins and additives that are put in all processed foods. You've got the education system training people to be subservient, to believe authority is real. You've got the media and television feeding people a completely false version of reality. And you've got the social structure itself training people that it's all about climbing rungs on the social ladder and supporting the economic model. So it's very difficult for people to be able to lift their heads up above the quagmire of disinformation and false reality that they live in, to actually be able to see things clearly. And even when they do see things clearly, it's very, very difficult for people to be able to formulate any type of workable plan to bring themselves back to reality. And even when you do bring yourself back to reality, you realize that you're just one head sticking up above what is essentially a horde of programmed zombies, and it becomes very difficult for anyone to be able to see a real way out of this situation, because it's no good freeing one person, it's no good freeing yourself if you're going to leave the rest of the world in the state that it's in, because the world is imploding around us. Regardless of how free the individual becomes, we still have to deal with the larger problem of the world and population in general, because if we simply turn our back on this and walk away and think that building a little alternate community and protecting our own little habitat is going to help things, well, unfortunately, we're sorely mistaken. We do have global situations to deal with. And it's very important that we do deal with this global situation. So how do we deal with the global situation exactly, folks? Well, as I've so often said, it's got to come down to the individual changing their perspective, but then applying it to the world around them and waking up the people around them so we can all act together. And there are many moves for solidarity. There are many movements. There are many things that are happening where people are trying to unite their communities and they're trying to show solidarity with each other. But unfortunately, even in doing so, they're still playing within legal parameters. So unfortunately, they're still supporting the fiction, which is the cause of the problem. As I've so often said, you're never going to find a way to deal with the fiction by using the fiction. You have to step above the fiction. Because when you do step above the fiction, all of the problems fade away. But as I've so often said, this can only happen when one gains true knowledge of themselves. And that's why I've placed so much emphasis on this fact on these radio shows for so many years now, folks. But I think people are starting to realize this now. I think really people are beginning to see that there is no way to remedy the situation that we're in by using the legal fiction. And when I say don't use the fiction, I'm not saying break the law, folks. What I'm saying is step above it and understand who and what you are and don't protest the actions of these people, contest the actions of these people, because protests are actually counterproductive. What really is accomplished by going to protest, folks? I mean, it is good to show solidarity, and sometimes we are able to delay certain corporate activities for a certain amount of time. But what is the ultimate result? What is really ever achieved? And when you look at it, you find that actually there's been very few times that protests have actually stopped something from taking place. All protests have ever really served to do is, as I said, delay proceedings for a little while. And yet the government seems to allow these protests all the time, and we are in many ways encouraged to protest if we don't like something. So what is really achieved by these protests? And really what happens, folks, is that these protests make information available to the government. They're able to measure how many people are actually willing to stand up against the corporate corruption that is raping their respective countries. And they're also able to view what the attitude of the people is and what their understanding of remedy is. Because very often we go to these protests and there are just people who get up and speak, and a lot of air is issued from a lot of lungs, but not a lot of action takes place from that point forward. Unless there's perhaps some big petition that's signed, or perhaps a mass mailing to a local senator or something like that, but there's never really any game plan for how to move the process forward and how to actually stop the mining operations from occurring. And I think the government uses these protests as a way of measuring what the public reaction is going to be to certain things and of gauging what the public knowledge is of the real situation. Because all they have to do is listen to what speeches are delivered to see if any real remedy is ever being offered. And this way they're able to gauge what the current level of understanding of what those engaging in the protests actually is. So protests are actually a very useful tool from a government perspective in gauging the current intellectual and political status and knowledge of the general population. And that is, I believe, why they are allowed and in many ways encouraged in an under-the-counter kind of a way. And so people go to these protests and they join organizations which are aimed at protesting against government actions. But what you find is that most of these organizations are in fact controlled opposition. And it's easy to tell that they are controlled opposition simply by the fact that they always play within government parameters and within government guidelines. And as I've said, there's no point looking for remedy within the parameters of a system which is the actual cause of the problem. You're never going to find a remedy there, folks. You have to step above the whole thing. And it's a difficult concept for people to think of, to be able to step above the government and step above the system. And that's because people find it very difficult to view the legal system as actually being fiction, and they're caught within that system. So, okay, if you believe the legal system is real, then let's use the legal system. Let's use the fiction to step above the fiction. For example, in regard to the coal seam gas industry here in Australia, we have in the state of New South Wales over 80% of the population standing in solidarity against coal seam gas mining, and yet the government is still pushing forward to make sure it happens. This is a clear breach of trust, folks. This is a clear abuse of office because the government is not carrying out the will of the people, and this is apparently a democratically elected government. It's apparently a democratic nation. These people are elected by us to act on our behalf, and yet what they are doing is not acting on our behalf. What they are doing is selling us out down the river. And so what we need is something like a class action. We need the people of New South Wales to stand up and express an overall loss of confidence in the ability of this government to govern and to dismiss this government. That's what we need. That's the approach that needs to happen. And it has to be the same with the federal government. I mean, the federal government in Australia is absolutely out of control. Tony Abbott is possibly the biggest sociopath in the world. I mean, this man has taken corruption, narcissism, and abuse of power to an entirely new level. He's absolutely the worst thing that ever could have happened to this country. I mean, all of the politicians are bad, and they all serve the same people. Ultimately, in the end, it doesn't matter who you vote for. But most people are a little bit careful about how much they push the agenda through. Tony Abbott isn't careful at all. Tony Abbott just wants to completely rape this country and impoverish its people as much as he possibly can. He's an absolute criminal and an absolute scumbag, and we need to do something about this government. In fact, I think everybody in Australia should immediately stop paying taxes, because the taxes that you pay to this government are supporting the criminal activities of this government. They're supporting the warmongering, they're supporting the theft from the population, they're supporting the coal seam gas industry, the destruction and pollution of Australia's aquifers and underground water systems, the mining industry, the destruction of the Great Barrier Reef, the destruction of the forests in the Franklin Gorge in Tasmania. Every time you give any money at all to this government, you are supporting this government's criminal activities, and people need to stop paying their taxes. And it's the same in England, it's the same in America. People absolutely need to withdraw all support from the criminals that have taken over our political systems. And I know that sounds like a radical plan, but that's simply what we have to do, folks. We have to remove all support from the criminal activities of these people, and we have to put the power back into the hands of the population. We can't allow our world to be destroyed because the criminals that we employ to do the opposite of what they are doing decide to write rules on pieces of paper, which they believe gives them the ability to destroy the place. And that's the problem, folks. We just believe the fiction is real. I mean, I know I talk about this so often on this show. I really do. I mean, I talk about the legal fiction on and on and on ad nauseum. But it is important for people to see it this way. It's important for the information to sink into people's minds that we have the ability to stop all of the damage that's happening on this planet if we simply choose to stand together and to do so. And joining organizations isn't going to help. Supporting television stations isn't going to help. People need to get involved themselves and start taking action on the ground. Each and every one of us needs to do this. And it's really gotten to a point of necessity, folks. It isn't a matter that we should, it's a matter that we have to, because if we don't, we are not going to have a world to live in. The matter simply has to be taken in hand, and obviously the governments are not going to do it. So therefore the situation comes down to the hands of the people, and it is important that people get involved. You know, we need you to, folks. Your families need you to. Your children need you to. The world needs you to get involved. And the responsibility to do this falls on the shoulders of each and every one of us. We can make a difference, folks. That's what we're here to do. All we have to do is choose to be involved. Just choose to stand up for your rights. Choose to stand up for yourself. Choose to know yourself and to stand up for yourself and stand up for the rights of others. Choose respect over competition, because competition is simply something that's bred into people's minds via this society, and all competition does is breed contempt, and we don't need that. We don't need competition. We need cooperation. Cooperation could solve everything. But of course, cooperation can only come from respect. And that's why I always come back to that. And I know I beat the same drum almost to death on these shows, folks, but, well, it's important. It really is. And it's important to also stand your ground, folks, to walk the talk that you offer others. It really is. It's no good backing down to this system, and it's no good shirking your responsibilities to be responsible. I mean, that is what your responsibility is, folks, here. Your responsibility is to be responsible. But we're not responsible. We've had this taken away from us by the system. The system is responsible for us. The system does everything we need it to do for us. It takes care of us. It's the nanny state. And it takes responsibility for our actions very often. And even a lot of what I've seen in the alternate research community, I don't see people that are walking the talk that they offer others, unfortunately. Well, some people do, but some people don't. Many don't, in fact. I've seen certain people who've offered things to the world, offered certain understandings to the world, but then when they've been caught in the spotlight themselves, they have not followed the guidelines they've offered to others. And I think that this is very unfortunate. I've seen a lot of things reveal themselves, actually, in the last 12 to 18 months, which has been quite fascinating. You know, I think this is a lot of what 2012 was about, folks. I think that 2012 was a time when things began to reveal themselves. I do think it was an important event, December 21st, 2012. A lot of people saw that as a non-event and thought that nothing happened, but I think a lot of things shifted at that time, and I think that we are in that period now. We are in the period in history when things are shifting and things are revealing themselves. And it seems to be happening right across the board. I think this is a lot of what the global awakening is about as well. And bear in mind that there are still many, many people who are asleep, but there are many who are waking up. And the more people wake up, the more negative things are getting as well. I mean, we're seeing a huge escalation in the control grid. We're seeing a huge escalation in the war posturing, things like Fukushima. I mean, there's so much going on at the moment. But I think this is all parallel. I think it's all happening at the same speed as the awakening is happening. And the interesting thing about it is, as I've said before, I think that the more negative things become, the more people wake up. I think it's a natural course of events for this to happen. I just wonder how negative things are going to have to get before we see some sort of a major shift and see things really start to change. But then I think a lot of the problem is that people want change. Even the people who aren't particularly awake want change. Everybody wants change. But nobody really quite knows how to go about it. Nobody knows how to emancipate themselves from the system, how to step outside of the fiction and really just take control of their own lives. It's become very difficult for us to do so. There are so many parameters and rules that control every one of our actions now that it's very, very difficult to find a way through the mess. Simply because there's so many people who work within the system, there's so many people who have government jobs, who really believe that what they're doing is important. They believe that the system is real. And it's difficult to know how to change this programming in people, or even how to address the fact that the programming exists, let alone how to deprogram people. It's a very, very difficult task that we're facing. I mean, even with what I do, even, you know, I mean, I come onto the shows here and I say, well, look, it's all about respect and it's all about knowing yourself and it's all about breaking down the barriers you have with your neighbors and the people around you. But then even if you do that, then what's the next step? How do we deprogram people who operate within the parameters of the system? Even if the whole community wakes up and everybody in the country is suddenly self-aware and suddenly respectful and suddenly doing the right thing and all that they can do, how do we deprogram all of these other people who are still locked within the parameters of the system? How do we deprogram the police and the politicians and all of the people who work within the control grid, who truly believe that what they are doing is important and it makes a difference and that the world would fall apart if they didn't do what it said on the pieces of paper that they carry around? How do we deprogram people? How do we address this situation? I mean, obviously, we can't just allow the system to implode and expect a phoenix to arise from the ashes, because that's never going to happen. We need to find a way of stepping out of this system and into a new system, which will then eventually lead us back to a point where we become self-empowered, self-aware, and self-responsible, whereby we come back to a point where we are actually intelligent enough and educated enough and self-aware enough to be able to govern ourselves as we should. How do we get to that point? And more importantly, what are the steps that we need to take in order to get there? You see, these are some of the things we need to think about. These are some of the points we need to consider. That's why we need to put all of our heads together to try to come up with some viable solutions. But at the moment, the most important thing for us all to do is to pay attention to the world and to rein this system in and to stop the current progression of this civilization. Well, at least not allow it to progress along its current path, because it's a path that is destroying everything around it. It's destroying everything of value in the world. Now, what's going on in Australia here with the mining, with what's going on with the Great Barrier Reef, cutting this huge port through the Barrier Reef, and the coal seam gas exploration is absolutely outrageous, and it's destroying this country in order to support an economic model. And people are allowing it to happen again because they believe in the fiction. They believe that what these guys write on pieces of paper is real. And it isn't that the people believe it, because many of them are waking up to the fact that it is fiction and that there has to be a better way. But again, it's those people who are programmed so heavily that they're operating within the system and they're supporting it. The police and the politicians and all of the people that are doing the damage, who absolutely believe that what they are doing is the right thing to do and that they're not breaking any laws by what they're doing. And they may not be breaking legislation, but of course they are all breaking laws. And really, the only way, folks, the only way that we can ever address this is through the empowerment of the people. That's what I mean. Because these people are so programmed, the police and the politicians and the court system, they're all so programmed that we've got to find a way of stepping above. And that's why I've gone so much through the sui generis things on these shows as well, because that works within their system, the whole concept of sui generis. This means you are unique, you have no peers, therefore you cannot be subject to the laws of your peers. And even within their system, even within the government system, in all of our countries, there are laws that are in place to say that we need to protect our country and we need to protect our groundwater and that it's illegal to pollute water systems and all of this sort of stuff. So we can say that this is what we are doing. We are standing up in our capacity of sui generis, whereby we are protecting our country and we're protecting the life of this nation. And that any attack against our sui generis state and any attack against the water table and the water systems of this country and the natural systems of this country is an attack against this country, and it is a threat to our national security. And we the people have decided that we have to take this matter in hand, because we will not allow public employees, public trustees and public servants to interfere with the security of the people of this nation and therefore create a crisis which can only be seen as a threat to national security. Because national security is the security of the people within the nation, and this cannot be achieved if these corporations are allowed to destroy our country at the whim of politicians whom we employ. So this is the only way, folks, that any of these situations can be addressed. And that's what I've gone through so calmly on these shows for so long now, to try to help people feel empowered in the knowledge of themselves, and empowered enough in that knowledge to be willing to put down the barriers that they have with the people around them and to stand together as one united community and address this situation. Because if we do that, we can fix the situation. All we have to do is turn to face it as one united voice. And after watching the steps that people have taken to attempt to combat this system and protest against this system and prevent the government from doing anything it's doing, and having seen the failures, the massive failures on all fronts that people have had with this, it's become more and more apparent to me that what I've been saying is absolutely correct. We have to stand together and step above the system, look on the whole thing from a perspective of trust, realize that we are all sui generis. We are all unique and we all have the ability to change things. We don't have to go along with fiction that's written on pieces of paper by people that we employ to act on our behalf. It's really that simple, folks. All we need to do it is the strength of numbers. That strength of numbers that can only be achieved when we achieve a state of respect for each other. Because when we achieve that state, then everything will change by default. It really will. And I truly believe this, folks. I really, really do. That's why I've gone through this so many times on the show. Because we're heading for a crisis. We really are. We're at tipping point at the moment. And it's so important that people act. And I'm just not seeing people addressing things in the right way. And sure, I'm seeing people are acting. They're getting out and protesting and making a noise and shaking their fists, but they're not looking at things from the correct perspective. And so no real change is ever being brought about because they're still operating within the parameters of fiction. And it's never going to work. That's why the fiction's there. It's there to prevent you from ever bringing about any change. It's there to disempower everybody and to ensure that the system reigns supreme. And that's why we have to step above it. And I'm sorry if I beat the same drum so much on the shows, but we are really reaching a crisis point, folks. The time to act is now. And the situation has really never been more urgent. Just look at the situation in all of our countries. Look at things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And look at the global situation. Look at what's going on, folks. Look at what they're doing with Ukraine. Look at Fukushima. See how it all ties together. And we really do begin to see that there is a need for us to stand up and do something. These people aren't going to fix it. They're just going to keep escalating the problem, and so we have to address it ourselves. The question is, I suppose, what's it going to take for people to do so? And that's the thing, folks. That's really what you each have to ask yourself, is where is your line in the sand? Because this government is going to keep pushing. All of the governments around the world, they will keep pushing the people until the people begin to push back. You ask how far this government will go, how far this control system will go, it will go as far as we let it go. And they will keep pushing to get it through until we say no more. That's how much we will take, folks. We will take as much as we will take until we will take no more. And the question is, what is that for you? Where is your line in the sand? For my part, I drew my line in the sand long ago, and the powers that believe they be stepped over that line long, long ago. And so I've been speaking out, and I've been doing everything I can to stand up against this system ever since. I will not take a backward step to it. I will not show any fear to it. That's just who I am. And I'll do that because I believe I have a moral obligation to do that. People ask me sometimes, are you in fear of speaking out? Are you in fear of the repercussions it may have? And I tell them that I am more in fear of not speaking out than I am of speaking out. Because when I see the world that is being created around me, I know I have an obligation to do something about it. And I am much more fearful of that world that is being created and that will be created through my inaction if I fail to address the situation than I am of addressing the situation. And I think that once the blinkers really come off and people really do begin to look around them and see the reality of what I'm saying, it becomes the same for them. The consequences of speaking out are far, far less than the consequences of not speaking out. And that is simply the unfortunate reality of our situation. And that's why I do what I do, and that's why I continue to do what I do. And in the spirit of that, as I said near the start of the show, I've been recently out speaking around the country at the Freedom Summits and getting the word out to people in that way. I think it's really important that we make a difference this year, folks, in every way that we can. And I really hope that people out there listening to this show choose to get involved in their own communities. Even if it's only in a little way, it still does make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. There is no way that is too little. Every small drop in the bucket helps to fill the bucket. And we should never forget that every change that's ever been brought about in this world has actually started with small actions taken by ordinary people. So don't ever think that you can't make a difference by choosing to be involved, because just by making that choice, you've already made a difference. I mean, even with what I do, folks, I don't do much, really, when you think about it. I am just one small voice. I'm only one person. I can only do what one person can do. But just by choosing to speak out, and by choosing to put the time into making these radio shows every week and making the YouTube clips and making the films, then I can make a difference. I can reach more people. I can inspire them to do the same. And that's what's happened. So all that I have achieved simply came from one small person making the choice to be involved and to start making a difference. And we can all do the same thing. Because I'm nothing special, folks. I'm just one ordinary guy who one day made the conscious decision to start speaking out and speaking from my heart and saying the truth and speaking to people in a common sense way. Because really it is. Everything I say on these shows, it's just common sense. And that's all I've ever wanted to offer people, was a common sense approach to things. And of course, sometimes I don't get it right, folks. Sometimes I don't get everything right. I don't claim to be a guru. I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be omnipotent and to have the answer to anything. The only thing that I am an authority on is myself, and that's the way it is for everybody. But just by choosing to speak out, I have made a difference, and we can all do the same thing. All you have to do is choose to be involved. But I think we're just about at the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to pretty well leave it here for now. Thank you to anybody who's helped with the website ever. Contributions have been very, very few and far between lately, folks. It's been very difficult to get by, and if anybody can help, it would be great. There's also an Indiegogo campaign that a friend has started in an attempt to keep this show on the air, because I really am truly running out of funding, folks. And you'll find a link to the Indiegogo campaign on my website, thecrowhouse.com. You'll also find a link to a PayPal address that you can use if you can make a contribution through PayPal. And there's also a way of making direct deposits into a bank account. I'm doing everything I can to try to make it easy for people to contribute, but the powers that be seem to try to curb every way I have of collecting funding. I've had 4 PayPal accounts closed down now. And so they do what they can, folks, to try to keep me off air, but I do sincerely believe that those people out there who wish to see the show continue will continue to support the show. It really is up to you, and I thank those who have done so in the past. And as you can probably tell, I've also come back to the standard American voice radio, followed by the YouTube format for Surviving the Matrix. I'm just going to keep doing the shows the way I have been doing them for 6 years. I won't be making shows specifically for the People's Voice TV anymore. If the station wants to pick the shows up, then they are free to do so. But I'll just be continuing with the format that I've been doing for the last 6 years. And I thank you for all the support you, the listeners, have shown me in that time. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't still be going, folks. So I wouldn't have been able to do it to begin with. And I would never have been able to have made the impact that I've made, and the Crow House would never have been seen by so many millions of people now. So I thank you all for that, and it's great to be sharing the journey with all of you. And I thank you for any support you have offered me and can continue to give me in helping keep this show on the air, folks. But as I said, that is it for me now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm completely out of time. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.